A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed."
Verbum Domini.
We celebrate the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle today. We can learn more about him from the gospel and how his life and his example inspire us. We first hear St. Thomas speak up when the Lord decided to go to Bethany and to raise Lazarus from the dead. And traveling there, they would get very close to Jerusalem, where the Jews were already seeking his life. So they are getting into dangerous territory. And this is when Thomas spoke up, saying, "Let us also go that we may die with him." So we see in Thomas this total readiness to follow and stand by the Lord, even to the point of laying down his life. So we see in him great courage and devotion. He didn't want to be separated from the Lord. And our faith should strengthen our resolve to always remain united to the Lord as well. And we want to have that same enthusiasm, that same zeal, that same ardent love that Thomas had for the Lord. Let us also go that we may die with him. We next hear St. Thomas at the Last Supper when the Lord announced that he was going to prepare a place for his disciples. Jesus told them, "Where I am going, you know the way." But Thomas replied, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And it was because Thomas asked this that our Lord revealed himself further by stating, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Pope Benedict XVI said that Thomas's question gives us the right, so to speak, to ask Jesus for explanations. We often do not understand him. Let us be brave enough to say, "I do not understand you, Lord. Listen to me, help me to understand." So Thomas sought to understand, and he wasn't afraid to let the Lord know that he didn't completely understand. That's humility. It also shows his desire to know and understand the truth. Right? God created us with this desire to know the truth. So we shouldn't hesitate to ask the Lord questions, to ask him to help us understand when we are struggling to comprehend what he's doing in our lives or where he's leading us. Sometimes it's very confusing. Thirdly, we hear in the gospel today, particularly about Thomas's struggle with doubt regarding news of the Lord's resurrection. And when the other apostles reported to him that they had seen the risen Christ, he replied, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And so with this, we also want to be careful, right? We can learn a lot from the apostles and the saints to be cautious about boldly proclaiming things out of pride. "Unless I see this, I will not believe." We know a week later, our Lord appeared again to the apostles and he directly addressed Thomas, who was with the others at this time. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." That was a very humbling moment for Thomas, right? Especially since he had so boldly said in front of the others, "I will not believe unless I see." And not only does the Lord appear just to him, but those others are with him too. And just again, a week earlier, he had been so bold. So now he's humbled by the Lord in the presence of the other apostles. And Thomas responds with his great profession of faith, "My Lord and my God." He accepted that humiliation and grew in true humility. And this prayer, "My Lord and my God," this profession of faith, these are just a few short words, but they contain a strong expression of reverence, of faith, and devotion, which are now burning in Thomas's heart, which had just been renewed by grace. "My Lord and my God." And so we learn from this too that what makes prayer pleasing to God is not the number of words. Again, remember the Lord warned about, we don't want to babble like the pagans. We don't have to hit a certain word count or to please God, right? It's the sincerity of our hearts. They're praying heartfeltly. It's the disposition of our heart, especially when we're in personal and private prayer to the Lord. These words are simple, and yet we can imagine the fervor and sincerity of heart with which Thomas addressed them to the Lord, "My Lord and my God." What a great prayer that can also arise interiorly from our hearts during the elevation of the Blessed Sacrament during Mass, or when we come before our Lord's Eucharistic presence, "My Lord and my God." St. Gregory the Great said that Thomas's struggle with disbelief has done more for us than the faith of the other apostles. As he touches Christ and is won over to belief, every doubt is cast aside and our faith is strengthened. So the disciple who doubted and then felt Christ's wounds becomes a witness to the reality of the resurrection. So because Thomas had the honor of being invited personally by the Lord himself to be one of his apostles, he had to be an eyewitness of Christ's resurrection, right? The apostles were eyewitnesses. They lived with the Lord before his passion, death, and resurrection, and they saw him, they were with him after his resurrection, and they were witnesses of that. So the Lord is remedying that situation in the gospel today because Thomas was not with the apostles when he first appeared to them together. So he convinces Thomas today, who was struggling with doubt, by appearing to him and having him touch the nail marks in his hands and the wound in his side. And Thomas is being prepared to boldly proclaim the resurrection of Christ throughout the world. And his testimony would be particularly important, right? Because he did struggle and he could share that. "I doubted, and then the Lord appeared and he had me not only look at him, but to touch the nail marks in his hands, the wound in his side." And of course, we know he, like many of the others, would lay down his life in martyrdom. Again, a strong witness, a testimony to the faith. And because of Thomas's experience, we also benefit because of our Lord's words to him. "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." So we know the merit of our faith and its eternal reward in heaven is not dependent upon miraculous evidence, right? But it's in submitting our understanding to divine revelation, to the revealed word of God. And St. Thomas, as I mentioned, would go on to preach the gospel in Syria, Persia, and India, and he would lay down his life for Christ in martyrdom. And summing up the impact of St. Thomas on our spiritual lives, Pope Benedict XVI again would state in a general audience in 2006 that the Apostle Thomas's case is important to us, first, because it comforts us in our insecurity. Second, because it shows us that every doubt can lead to an outcome brighter than any uncertainty. And lastly, because the words Jesus addressed to him remind us of the true meaning of mature faith and encourage us to persevere, despite the difficulty, along our journey of adhesion to him. We ask the intercession of the Apostle St. Thomas today that, like him, we may cultivate the desire to never be separated from the Lord, to never be hesitant or afraid to ask the Lord for help and explanations when we don't understand, and that in times when there is temptation to doubt, we may be strengthened in our faith. And we beg the Lord for the grace of a continual increase of faith. Lord, increase our faith.